Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I know the Lord has been making a way for you. Why don't you get on your feet and put your hands together? Oh, I believe he's opening doors. He's making a way out of no way. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. God bless our choir and our praise team this morning. Oh, yeah. Somebody can say what the devil meant for evil, God used it for your good. Come on, he's making a way. He's making a way. Just keep playing. He's making a way. Making a way. Oh yeah. I will ever. Here we go. I will ever sing your praise. Hallelujah, and bless his name. As you remain standing, if you will get your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Psalm. Amen. We want to wish a few people happy birthday today. Brother Gregory Porsche, I believe his birthday was on yesterday. Brother Dylan has made the big 8-0. Amen. God bless you, Brother Dylan. Happy birthday to you. And I think there was one other name, Sister Chandra Wilson. Amen. Happy birthday to you and to all of the October babies. God bless you and happy birthday. In the book of Psalm, the 27th number of the book of Psalms and verse 13. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And God, we ask that you would so fix our hearts that we will receive the word that you have for us today. It is with thanksgiving, oh God, that we share in your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for the joy that we have through your word, through your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm, the 27th number of the book of Psalms and the 13th verse and the 14th verse, There you will find these words in the King James Version. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I like the way the New King James Version reads. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a few moments from this subject. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's the word somebody needed to hear today. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you, ushers. I was eating dinner with some friends at one of my favorite restaurants. They ordered what they ordered, you know, all of the healthy stuff. But I ordered a steak. And I'm pretty particular about how I like my steak. Everybody else's food came to the table before mine. As a matter of fact, there was a lengthy delay. So I asked the waitress what was taking my food so long. And the waitress said to me, sir, your order is a special order, and special orders take time. I thought about what that waitress said when I read the text that we have before us today, because there are some things that I have asked the Lord for, and they have not materialized yet. There are some things that I have been talking to the Lord about a mighty long time, and yet they have not come to fruition. Is there anyone else in the room who has asked the Lord for something, and as of yet, it hasn't come to pass? I have seen others receive their orders, but mine is delayed. But I'm so happy to report to you today that delay does not equal denial. I have seen other people's prayers answered. I have seen other people experience breakthrough. I have seen other people experience grace, blessings, and victory. I have seen others get the house. I have seen others get the car. I have seen others get the promotion. I have seen others get the job. I have seen others get the healing. I have asked God to do some things, and he hasn't done it yet. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, maybe it's a special order. Tell your neighbor, special orders take a little more time. Is there anybody here today who will testify with me that just maybe your prayer is a special order? I'm talking about that you cannot get off the showroom floor. I'm talking about that you cannot get off the rack. You cannot get it out of the inventory. You just have to wait on it. As a matter of fact, if you've ever had something tailor-made, you know that the process takes time. They have to measure you from head to toe. Then you have to wait for the suit maker to finish. But when you get your tailor-made suit or dress, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody else that can step into that garment because it was made just for you. Maybe this morning what you've asked the Lord for, that you've cried about, that you've been pacing the floor about, well, maybe the reason you're having to wait is because it's a special order, and special orders take time. So I've come by this morning to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to stop giving God ultimatums. Y'all know how we give God ultimatums. Ultimatums as to when he has to act, ultimatums as to how he has to move. We've got to stop giving God ultimatums, because you have to recognize that some blessings God has to get ready for you, but then there are some blessings that God has to get us ready to receive. Do I have a witness here today? Amen, amen, amen. I'm so happy that we serve a God who is not operating by our watch. He's not operating by your schedule. He's not operating by your planner. Amen. Those of you who've sat under my teaching in Bible study over the years will recall me saying that God does not operate in time. God operates in eternity. That's why the Bible says that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways, because we are bound by time, but God is not subject to time. Do I have a witness today? You see, for us, according to the writer of the book of Proverbs, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up searching, a time to keep and a time to throw some stuff away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace, but not so with our God. Am I the only one in here who serves a God who is not subject to time? So I've come by to encourage somebody today that spouse that you've been praying for in God's time, tell your neighbor he'll do it. That car that you've been praying for in God's time, you'll get it. Oh, I ought to have a witness in here today. That job that you're longing for, in God's time, he'll do it. It may look like he's doing nothing. It may look like he's gone on strike. It may look like he's giving you a cold shoulder. It may look like he's paying you no attention at all. But I've come by to remind you today that just when it seems like God is not working, when it seems like he's not moving, when it seems like he's not doing anything, tell your neighbor, God is up to something. I've told y'all the story how my family, my mother and my brothers and I, we were visiting my brother in Houston, Texas, and we were all down, the adults were down in the living room, which is downstairs, and all of the children were playing upstairs, and there came a time while we were assembled downstairs that it got real quiet upstairs. And my sister-in-law said that there must be something going on up there. My brother said, "Nah, amen, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe they're asleep." She said, "Nah, whenever they get that quiet, they are up to something." And sure enough, when they went upstairs, they found out that the children were wreaking havoc. They were tearing stuff up. Amen, they were up to something. And I said that to say to somebody today that when it seems like heaven is quiet, when it seems like God is not tending to your affairs, it's not that he's not doing something. Tell your neighbor, when it gets quiet up there, it simply means God is up to something. I wish I had two or three witnesses in here who can look back over your life and testify that in those moments when you thought you were out there by yourself, you discovered that God was working it out for your good. Is there anybody who can praise him because he's working it out for your good? Even when it seems like he's not gonna answer. Amen. Even when it seems like it's quiet upstairs, I've come to encourage you today to let you know that when it gets quiet upstairs, it's because God is up to something. He's getting your blessing ready. Tell your neighbor, mine is a special order. Well, the question that comes to my mind, and I'm sure the question that is burning on the table of your heart, is, Pastor, what do I do when I have no choice but to wait on God? How do I behave myself? What kind of attitude should I have? What ought I be doing, amen, when I have no choice but to wait on God? Oh my, I'm glad you asked, because the first thing that you ought to do when you don't have a choice but to wait on him, tell your neighbor you need to be patient. You all know that we live in a society where we don't want things tomorrow. We don't want it next week. As a matter of fact, we want it yesterday. And can I tell you, as your pastor, that even I have to admit that sometimes it's hard to wait. But I've come by to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to wait anyhow. When you need an extraordinary blessing, you just got to wait. When you need a supernatural blessing, you just have to wait. When you don't want a run-of-the-mill blessing, you have to wait, because special orders take time. Now, I need to tell you here that in the midst of your waiting, don't be fooled into believing that waiting means you doing nothing. Don't buy into that notion that waiting means inactivity. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying while you're waiting on a new job, keep filling out applications. Do I have a witness today? I'm saying while you're waiting on your healing, please don't stop taking your medicine. Keep taking your medicine. While you're waiting to get out of debt, be working on a plan to get it done. Do I have any witnesses in the house? All God wants is an unwavering faith in the midst of pain, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of tragedy. God just wants to know that you trust him. Oh, I wish I had two or three folk who've been there, amen, when it looked dark, when it looked hard, when it got rough, amen, when those folk who said they were your friends, you couldn't find them, amen, when family members that you got in debt helping wouldn't help you, when you got in trouble. I need two or three folk who can look back over their lives and say, I'm so glad that God didn't abandon me. Because you ought to know that every now and then, God will test the character of your faith. Amen. Amen. He'll put you in a situation where you just have to wait, because God wants to know if you have the faith in him to believe that his delay does not mean his denial. Oh, my, oh, my. I'm a witness that sometimes God will put you in a position where you've got to wait, amen, and all God is doing, he's checking your faith level. He's checking your faith out to see if you really trust him, because y'all know we get real spiritual when we come to church. Y'all know when the music is right and when the drums are beating and the organ is playing, come on, and your money's all right and your children are all right and your job is all right. We come up in here and we can cut a step. We'll get our dance on. But what God wants to know is that when the money is funny and the change is strange, do you still have a praise? What God wants to know is that when the doctors have given you a bad report and you come into the house of the Lord, do you still have a worship? Do you still honor him because of who he is? Do you still praise him because of what he's done? I love the book of Psalms because in a very real sense, we find David, the man after God's own heart. We find him in the book of Psalms experiencing life in much the same way that we got to experience. I'm so glad that when God gave us his word, he didn't just include those folk who had the easy road. I said, I'm so glad, amen, that when God gave us this word, he didn't just present us with folk who only lived on mountaintops. Is there anybody other than me that's glad to know that when you get in the word, you can find some folk who are dealing with the same hell you're dealing with? The same, there are some folk who've been lied on just like you, who've been talked about just like you, who've had your spouse to cheat on you just like you, who've had to, amen, go through financial problems and job problems and children problems, but yet you can find in the word some examples of folk who experience life just like you. You see, When you study the book of Psalms, and I think I've said it enough that you ought to remember that this is a song book. There are five divisions to the book of Psalms. There are 150 songs in the book of Psalms. But when you read the book of Psalms and you understand that David wrote most of the Psalms, you understand that he experienced the highs and lows of life. He had to deal with heartache and frustration. He had to deal with enemies and haters just like you. During the high moments in his life, he would write stuff like that first number of Psalms, blessed is the man, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In the high times, he wrote stuff like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the high times, he wrote stuff like Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Thank God for the high times. But every now and then, David would find himself in a low moment. And he would write stuff like Psalm 22 and 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've discovered through my study of this text that there are some things going on in David's life. In verses 2 and 3, he's being pursued by enemies. In verse 10, he's having parental problems. In verse 12, he becomes the subject of scandal. Tell your neighbor, David's plate is full. But is there anybody that will testify with me that David's plate is not the only one that's full? Huh? Is there anybody else in the room that will testify, Pastor, I have a full plate too? Now, you can sit there and look cute if you want to and act like, amen, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You can sit there and act like your children are on the A honor roll all of the time. You can sit there and act like all your bills are paid. As a matter of fact, you've got zero debt. You can sit there and act cute if you want to, but there's somebody up in here that's willing to stand on their feet and testify, Pastor, I'm dealing with a full plate. I look good, but I'm dealing with the full plate. Pastor, I'm driving nice, and my home is nice, but I got to tell you, every month my bills come due. And sometimes my money is funny and my change is strained. Pastor, I got a full plate. Amen. And so David tells us that in order to wait on the Lord, you've got to be patient. But then secondly, he tells us that as we wait on the Lord, and if you need something to help you remain patient during your waiting, David says, remember how God helped you in your past. David says, you got to be patient. And that don't mean inactivity, amen, but while you're being patient, if you need motivation, and I don't know about y'all, but there's some mornings I get up, I need some motivation. Am I by myself? There are some Sunday mornings, amen, that I get out of my bed, amen, and I know I got to try to bring a word to encourage the people of God, but there are some mornings between politics for the nation and meet the press that I get a little discouraged by what's happening in our world, and I need something to motivate me to make it another day. And can I tell you where my motivation comes from? David says, remember what he did for you yesterday.
David says, if you need some help, if you need some motivation, remind yourself of the storms he's brought you through. Remind yourself of the times you were sick and didn't know how you would get well. But look at you now. He touched you. He healed your body. Give him praise in this place. Says, while you're patiently waiting, remember how he helped you in the past. Is there anybody here who can celebrate the fact that God has done some things in your past? Did he keep a roof over your head? Did he keep a little money in your pocket? Did he regulate your mind and keep you from going postal on somebody? Do I have a witness today? Did he give you the activity of your limbs? Didn't allow them to repossess your car. Your child got off drugs. You got your degree even though you had two kids in school. Is there anybody here that can testify that God has done some things in your past? I dare you, I double dare you to just get one thing on your mind that he has done for you in your past. Wait patiently on the Lord. And then secondly, remember what God has done in your past. But there's one more thing you got to learn how to do while you wait patiently on God. You got to learn how to get out of yourself and give him some praise. Do I have a witness today? I heard somebody say, don't wait till the battle is over. You may as well go on and shout now.